We're starting a new sermon series titled The Resident. The Resident is a reference to the Holy Spirit of God who comes to make his dwelling in us when we believe in Christ Jesus. This is a truly extraordinary idea and a truly extraordinary experience. God Himself living in us. God Himself making His dwelling in us. And that's why we're calling the Holy Spirit the resident. I think we're going to be spending 5, 6, 7 weeks maybe exploring and, God willing, also experiencing the Holy Spirit. But straight up, let me say this first. The Holy Spirit is not a power. He is a person. He may be a spirit, but he is a person. He doesn't have a form, but he has a personality. So we always refer to the Holy Spirit as him and not it. He is the Holy Spirit. I'm quite excited about the series, but this is going to be slightly different from the sermons from how the sermons in New City generally are. And this morning, I would like to both lower your expectations from this talk and also, at the same time, raise your expectation from this talk and all the talks in this sermon series. And I'll explain what I mean by that. At New City, we set the bar very, very high in terms of our preaching of God's Word. We take this very, very seriously. Our sermons are pretty deep, richly grounded in God's Word. They're also practical. In this series, we want to keep our sermons very simple and very short. The reason we want to keep our sermons in the series simple and short is to give us some more time for worship and prayer after the sermon. And I'd like us to have some more time for worship and prayer after the sermon, because not only do we want to understand the Holy Spirit through the series, we also want to experience the Holy Spirit through the series. You know, nothing would be more sad if we go through this entire series understanding the Holy Spirit, but not actually experiencing Him. The whole point of the Holy Spirit taking residency in us is that we would not only know Him, but we would also experience Him. And this is where I would really like you to raise your expectations from the sermon series. I want all of us to expect the Holy Spirit to show up. I want all of us to expect to be able to experience in real, tangible ways the presence of the Holy Spirit in our midst. And more than that, the presence of the Holy Spirit inside of us. I want us to have high expectations this morning, this next 30, 40 minutes of the talk and the sermon and the worship. I want us to have high expectations. I want us to believe that the Holy Spirit would come. The Holy Spirit would show up. I want us to believe that the Holy Spirit will come and shake us up. So even as I speak, I want to encourage us to keep praying. And I'm going to be trying my best to keep praying in the background even as I preach. I really believe, and that's the one thing that I've been praying for. For those of us who are not followers of Jesus, and we always have friends like that in New City, if you're just checking Jesus out, this is probably your first time, or you've been coming for a few weeks, you're interested in Jesus, and maybe you've never heard about the Holy Spirit before. Or maybe you've heard of Him, but you have no idea who He is. Let me just share a couple of things for our benefit. First, the Holy Spirit is very interested in you. I have very high expectations again here. And I believe during this talk today, in the next 20 minutes or so, I believe there are going to be moments when the Holy Spirit is going to be working in you. I believe there are going to be moments when the Holy Spirit is going to be tugging at your heart. I believe He will generate in your heart an interest in God. And I believe that He will fill your heart with an inexpressible joy. I believe He will bring you to repentance. I believe He will birth in your heart a faith in Jesus. And all I want to ask of you is simply this. Would you be open to any of these signs? You know that New City, if you've been here even once, you know that New City is a place where you can explore Jesus at your own pace. No one's going to force anything on you at all. So do explore Jesus at your pace. But if you start experiencing any of these things that I'd mentioned earlier, I want you to be aware that this is the work of the Holy Spirit in you. Just be open. He will lead you. He will guide you into all truth. And again, for those of us who are not followers of Jesus, who are new to a church context, allow me to just explain with a couple of incident stories from my own life about how the Holy Spirit works in us. Many years ago, I was in college, and at that point in time, I was not a follower of Jesus. And a friend of mine, I was not even interested in Jesus. I'd never been to a church. I had hardly any Christian experience. And a friend of mine invited me to his home to pray. And sure enough, I went. You know, he's a good friend. I used to play cricket with him. And if he had invited me to a party, I would have gone. He invited me to pray. So I just went with him. No expectations. And he and his sister prayed for me. It was a very simple prayer. Nothing much. You know, no fireworks. Very simple prayer. God bless him. Bless his family. I was during my college at that point in time. Help him in his studies, help him get a new job, all of that, good prayers. And at the end of the prayer, they finished the prayer like this: in Jesus' name we pray, amen. I cannot forget this evening, the 20th of April, 1993. The minute they finished praying and they said, in Jesus' name we pray, amen, I just knew in my heart that I wanted to worship Jesus all my life. I can never explain this, but 25, 26 years later, I still cannot forget this day. The reason I was able to experience in my heart this desire to want to worship Jesus was the work of the Holy Spirit. That's what He does in our hearts. And I believe He came to live in me that day. I also want to share another story. This is a story of my wife. She was not, at this point in time, not a follower of Jesus. She was growing. She was developing an interest in Jesus. And so one day we had a conversation. And she said, Anand, I think I'm going to give Jesus a try. And she said, for the next 10 days, I'm not going to pray to any other God except Jesus. And I'm going to read the Bible. Will you please help me read the Bible? I'm going to pray to Jesus. And at the end, before the 10 days, if Jesus speaks to me, I will follow Jesus. If He doesn't speak to me, then I don't think He's real. And she did that. She prayed to Jesus pretty much every day during those 10 days. She read the Bible. Day 5. Nothing was happening. Day 6, day 7, day 8, day 9. The 10th day came to an end and nothing had happened. And Anaji was very sad. She was very disappointed. She felt rejected. She said, I honestly called to Jesus, but He didn't answer me. And I was in the living room and I was crushed too. I was really believing that Jesus would somehow touch her and bring her also to faith in Him. And she said, I've tried it. Maybe your God doesn't like me. And so that's it. I'm going to go away. You know, I've given Him a try. No more Jesus for me. And I was in the living room praying with another friend. And she said, that's it. I'm not going to... I tried Jesus. I'm giving up on him. And she went to the bedroom and she was lying down there. And I was continuing to pray with my friend here. And this is how she describes her experience. She says, as I was lying down, I was feeling sad. But I could not stop worshiping Jesus. I was disappointed he didn't speak to me, and I wanted to stop worshiping him, but I could not stop. And I couldn't stay in that bedroom. I came back to the living room and said, Anand, I want to worship Jesus for the rest of my life. That is the work of the Holy Spirit in the heart of someone who is not yet a follower of Jesus. And so during this talk, during today or during the series, if you experience a love for Jesus, a faith in Jesus, a desire to draw closer to Jesus, don't fight him. Don't resist him. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in you. Let's get started with the series. During the series, we're going to be studying, we're going to be exploring several passages from the Bible that talk about the Holy Spirit. This week, the first passage that we're going to be looking at is a passage where Jesus has a really long conversation with his disciples, and he is explaining to his disciples the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. And he has this conversation with his disciples not too long before he goes to the cross to be crucified. Allow me to read just first one verse from that long conversation that Jesus has with his disciples. I'm reading from John, which is a book in the New Testament written by one of the disciples of Jesus named John, chapter 14, verses 15 to 18. If you love me, Jesus said, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper or advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads us, who leads you into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, Jesus said before he went to the cross, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. In this, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit will live in you. He will make his home in you. He will abide in you. He will take up residency in your heart. And that is why we're calling this sermon series, The Resident. He has come. The Holy Spirit has come to take residency in your heart and mind. So this conversation Jesus has with his disciples is a fairly long conversation. It starts in John chapter 14 and goes all the way to John chapter 16. Allow me to read for us relevant excerpts from this conversation. I've already read the first verse. I'm going to read one more verse that follows soon after what we just read. Again, Jesus speaking to his disciples. I'm telling you these things now while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the advocate or helper as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and he will remind you of everything I have told you. One more slice from what Jesus told his disciples. This is John chapter 15, verse 26 to 27. When the helper, the Holy Spirit, comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he, the Holy Spirit, will testify about me. That is Jesus. Jesus goes on, and I'm going to read a fairly slightly long portion from what Jesus said. This is John chapter 16, verses 5 to 15. But now, I'm going to him who sent me. None of you ask where I'm going. Rather, you're filled with grief because I've said these things to you. Very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate or the Holy Spirit will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he'll prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Jesus continued, I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He, the Holy Spirit, will glorify me, Jesus said, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. And all that belongs to the Father is mine. That's why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Could we just pray for a minute before I try, with the help of God's Holy Spirit, to explain and unpack and lead us on an exploration of these passages. I'm going to give us just a minute, a second. If you'd like to pray a very simple prayer, Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Jesus, we believe that we can take you at face value on everything you said. You said that you will go to your Father, and from your Father you will send us your Holy Spirit, who will come and live in us. We ask you to do this very thing this morning. Jesus, would you fill every one of us here with your Holy Spirit? That is all we ask of you this morning, that you would fill us according to your promise to us with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to draw just two very simple things for us from this passage. The first thing I'd like to draw for us is this. Christ Jesus opened the door for the Holy Spirit to come and live in us. Christ Jesus opened the door for the Holy Spirit to come and live in us. One of the things Jesus said in the conversation with his disciples that we just read is Jesus says, unless I go away, the Holy Spirit will not come to you. That's John chapter 16, verse 7. A very interesting statement. Unless I go away, the Holy Spirit will not come to you. Why will the Holy Spirit not come and live in us unless Jesus goes away? What is the connection between Jesus going away and the Holy Spirit coming in to live in us? It's quite simple, really. Have you ever wondered why the Holy Spirit is called the Holy Spirit? He's called the Holy Spirit because he is the Holy Spirit. Holiness is his defining character. Holiness is his defining attribute. He is not the miracle spirit. He is not the power spirit. He is not the motivating spirit. He is not the strength spirit. He is not the enthusiasm spirit. He is the Holy Spirit because his core attribute is his holiness. Now, if we were to search for a similar attribute to describe us human beings, the attribute would be messed up and sinful human beings. He is the Holy Spirit. We are sinful humans. Now, we have the Holy Spirit who needs to come and take up residence in us sinful humans. How is this possible? How can the Holy Spirit, How can the Holy Spirit dwell in sinful men? This is impossible. It is impossible for the Holy Spirit to come and live in sinful people like I and you. And this is why Jesus had to go to the cross. When Jesus says, unless I go away, the Holy Spirit will not come, he is meaning that unless he goes away to the cross, the Holy Spirit will not come in us. Because on the cross, Jesus made us holy. How did Jesus make us holy on the cross? Very simple. On the cross, Jesus took all of your sin and my sin and the sin of everyone in this world who would believe in him, all of our sins, Jesus took upon himself. And his perfect righteousness, his glorious beauty, he gave to us. And when he took his sins upon himself, the Father looked at him on the cross, and the Father punished him for your sins and mine. The Father poured the wrath, the just, holy, righteous wrath due on all of us. The Father poured out on Jesus. And Jesus had to walk through the pathway of the cross to open the door for the Holy Spirit to come and live in us. Jesus opened the door for the Holy Spirit to come and live in us. That's the first thing I want to draw from the passages we've looked. I want to draw two applications for us from this. Two great assurances. Because Jesus opened the door for the Holy Spirit to come live in us, the Holy Spirit will be dishonoring Jesus if he does not come and live in us. If because Jesus died on the cross, the Holy Spirit would be devaluing the death of Jesus on the cross if he does not come and take his residence in us who believe in Jesus. I bet every one of us have considered this question at some point or time in our lives. I've messed up. I've sinned so badly. Can the Holy Spirit be in me? Can the Holy Spirit fill me? Can the Holy Spirit live in me? Yes, he can. Not because you have become a good person, but because you've started believing in Christ Jesus. That's the first application, a great assurance that because Jesus went to the cross, the Holy Spirit will live in us. The second application I want to draw for us from this very simple truth is this. Why did the Holy Spirit take his residency in us? Why doesn't he just come and go? Why is the Holy Spirit choosing to live in us? Again, a very simple answer. That's how committed God is to our transformation. That's how committed God is to your transformation. He doesn't want to just come and go, change you a little bit and go. He has pitched his tent in you. He is saying, I am not leaving you till you become like Jesus. God is making this commitment to you. God is making this covenant with you that he's going to come and live in you no matter what you do, no matter how many times you fail. He's going to come and live in you. He is digging his heels in, saying, I am not leaving you till you are transformed into the fullness of the image and likeness of Jesus. I want us to be encouraged by this. And when the time comes for us to pray after this talk, I want you to remember this and receive this by faith. The second thing I want to draw from this passage, the passages that we read, is very simply this. The Holy Spirit is all about Jesus. the Holy Spirit is all about Jesus. Allow me to quickly walk us through everything that Jesus says in this passage. And I'm going to walk us through these passages again to help us see that the Holy Spirit is all about Jesus. The first verse, John chapter 14, verse 25 to 26. But when the Father sends the advocate, the helper, the Holy Spirit, as my representative. So the Holy Spirit is the representative of Jesus living in us. That's what Jesus is saying. He is my representative. The Holy Spirit is a representative of the Jesus, of Jesus. He will teach you everything and remind you of everything I have told you. So the work of the Holy Spirit in us is A, to teach us everything Jesus told us, and B, to remind us of everything that Jesus told us. Now, let me explain this. How many of us have studied for an exam and forgotten what we have studied? All of us, right? So first, the Holy Spirit teaches us. And in His great mercy, God knows we're going to forget it and go back into our own sinful ways. And the second work of the Holy Spirit is to come back from within us, because He's living in us, to remind us of what Jesus has done. Let me also add from this passage that the Holy Spirit will only teach us what Jesus has told us. He will only remind us of what Jesus has told us. There's no other work that the Holy Spirit does in us apart from Jesus. The next verse that we looked at, John chapter 15, 26 to 27. When the Holy Spirit comes, He will testify about me. See, the Holy Spirit is now living in us. And living inside of us, the Holy Spirit is saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The Holy Spirit living in us is testifying about Jesus to our souls day in and day out. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is all about Jesus. The third verse that I want to look at. The Holy Spirit will glorify me, Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, the Holy Spirit will come and live in you, and living in you, He will glorify me. Because it is from me, Jesus, the Holy Spirit will receive what He will make known to you. So this is how Jesus is describing the work of the Holy Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit is living in us. He has made His residence in us. And living inside of us, the Holy Spirit is going to receive from Jesus. And He's going to make that known to us. And through this, He is going to glorify Jesus in us. What is all this telling us? The work of the Holy Spirit is to point us to Jesus. The work of the Holy Spirit is to bring glory to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is all about Jesus. The Holy Spirit will never draw attention to Himself. He will always direct all attention to Jesus. The Holy Spirit will never glorify Himself. He will always and only glorify Jesus. The Holy Spirit will never take center stage or the limelight Himself. He will always shine the limelight and give the center stage to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is not primarily about signs and wonders. The Holy Spirit is not primarily about spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit is not primarily about miracles. The Holy Spirit is primarily about Christ Jesus. Any experience that we think we have about the Holy Spirit that doesn't immediately lead us to worship Jesus with our heart, mind, body, and soul. Any experience that we think we have that does not immediately direct our attention to Jesus and enable us to joyfully give glory to Him, those experiences are not the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit always brings glory to Jesus, and not to ourselves and not to anything else. There are two errors that all of us and all churches are vulnerable to. The first error is that we completely sideline the Holy Spirit. We completely ignore Him. We shut Him out. The second error, we focus wrongly only on the Holy Spirit and we forget Jesus. We focus on miracles. We focus on signs and wonders. We focus on gifts and we forget about Jesus. Both are wrong. Allow me to encourage us. Don't chase miracles. Don't chase the supernatural. Don't chase signs and wonders. Don't chase signs and wonders. Chase Jesus. And all these things will just happen naturally. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will inspire us to chase Jesus. Everything else, the sick will get healed when we pray. We don't have to focus on that. We have to focus on Jesus. Think about this. The Holy Spirit is all about Jesus. This does not mean that the Holy Spirit is any less than Jesus. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all equal. They are one, but they are different. Let me just spend a moment on the Trinity. Allow me to just pull back one verse. We look John chapter 14, verses 15 to 17. If you love me, obey my commands, and I, that is Jesus, will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate helper who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit. So this one verse, John chapter 15, verse 15 to 17, talks about all three persons in the Godhead. Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. They are three different persons, and they together make the Godhead, and they are one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All of them have no beginning or end. All of them were self-existent forever. None of them were created. All of them are God. They are three and they are one. They are all co-equal in glory and power. One is not more important than the other. One is not less important than the other. Look at it this way. The Father conceived the gospel. Jesus the Son executed the gospel by living a perfect life, atoning for our sins by His death on the cross, and justifying us by rising up again from the dead. And the Holy Spirit takes this gospel and applies it in our heart, enabling us to believe in Jesus. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit lives in us in order to bring glory to Jesus in our lives. The Holy Spirit is all about Jesus. If you've been part of New City for any length of time, you know that we always, always, always put the spotlight on Christ Jesus. Every single time we come together, every time of worship, every preaching of the word, it is all about Jesus. And if you thought we were intentionally doing this, you are wrong. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. It is the Holy Spirit who is reminding us, exhorting us, leading us, encouraging us, and building us to always put the spotlight on Jesus. What we therefore have, as we come to a close this morning, is a beautiful picture. Jesus opened the door by His death on the cross and His resurrection for the Holy Spirit to come and live in us. And having come to live in us, thus, the Holy Spirit constantly works in us to glorify Jesus. The band is going to come up in a couple of minutes. We're going to sing through a couple of songs. We're going to have a time of prayer. I want to give us specific things we can pray for. For those of us who are followers of Jesus, here's the thing that I want to really encourage you to pray for. Holy Spirit, fill me. Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Jesus, baptize me with your Holy Spirit. We'll talk about this more later in the coming weeks, but let me just present one picture. John the Baptist was baptizing people. And I'm sure you've seen a baptism here. The pastor or me, we would stand here. Or you've seen baptisms before. There'll be a pool of water. We'll take someone and say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We will dip them, immerse them in water, and bring them back up. That is baptism. And John is saying, John the Baptist says in the first two chapters of John, he says, after me will come him, Jesus, who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I want you to know this morning that Jesus is the one who baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. I want us to think, imagine this visually. Imagine Jesus standing here in a pool of water, which is the Holy Spirit. He takes you, he holds you, and Jesus immerses you, baptizes you in the Holy Spirit. I want you to desire that experience this morning, because that's what Jesus desires for you and for me.